FM. It is 8 minutes past 12. Thank you so much for joining us. We live in a very, very unique environment and in a very unique time in the world where we had COVID, everything shut down. Within a matter of days, we were at home and we were there for a long time. And then slowly, after a year and a bit, we started coming back. But yet, there were many, many buildings all over the CBD, all over Sandton, and all over the big capitals of the world that were empty. They're now being filled again. And the question is, how does that work? How do companies attract employees to come back to work, keep them happy? How do they attract new talent? And how do they keep people who've been there for many years but have become very comfortable working from home? So there's only one person to go to, and that's Andile Ngonwala, who's the Managing Director of Facilities Management at the division of Impact Group. Andile, welcome to Chai FM.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
A great pleasure. Andile, this is an absolutely fascinating topic. And I think of all the jobs that you've had in the past, this one at this particular time must be a really, really pressing job to be a facilities manager, because it's no longer about making sure that there's two-ply toilet paper in the bathrooms and that the floors are clean. It's a whole different animal.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, you're absolutely spot on there. We have seen facilities management evolve from what people used to call just janitorial service, right? Yeah. I think people have started realizing how critical it is to make sure that their offices, their buildings function properly. That has obviously the consequences that facilities management has been escalated. People talk about facilities managers moving from basement to boardroom. That's one notion. And what it simply means is that business have realized exactly the kind of value that facilities managers can essentially add to their businesses, because as you rightly say, these businesses are competing against each other for talent, to either attract talent or to retain talent.
You know, Andile, we often think about the facilities manager, at least in my mind, is some older chap who's been around forever, was there when the building was first built. He knows every pipe, every corner, all the staff and him all get on well, or her all get on well. That is not the case today. You've got a master's in engineering. So cleaning facilities management is a lot more about making sure that things are clean. Let's start at the very, very beginning. You know, when those buildings were empty and people had to come back to work, what is the first thing that you had to sort of prepare to make that experience and that transition as comfortable as possible, and I suppose as effective as possible?
No, absolutely. So look, when people were coming back, or when companies and organizations wanted to bring people back, I think what was top of mind, for everyone was to make sure that everyone is safe in their buildings, right? So really, it was just at the very beginning, the basic, how safe is everyone? With COVID, I think we all kind of got sensitized to our hygiene and making sure that things are safe, our surroundings are safe. So that was really the first things that everyone had to make sure that it is done properly. The second thing that people obviously needed to make sure they put in place is all these employees were used to now working from home and having their home comforts. How does a company make sure that the office environment is as comfortable as the home office that our people were accustomed to? So that was the second challenge, to make sure that our office environment actually changes from the way that we knew the office COVID, to probably a new idea of how the office should be. And that has led to a number of innovations, really, within the facilities management space. Other people will call it workplace management, in a sense that we now obviously look after the entire workplace. So it looked after. So there was a couple of innovations that we needed to put in place to make sure that the office is as comfortable as what people were used to when working in their houses.
And then I suppose that's where the science comes into it, because, you know, as I talk to you right now, I'm sitting in my study at home and I'm wearing Crocs. I wouldn't dare walk into my office wearing Crocs. But there is definitely something about getting up in the morning and getting dressed, no matter where you work from. And it's something that I believe very strongly in, is that I don't come downstairs to my study in my pajamas. You get dressed, you can go to work. How do you balance that where Mrs. Susie wants to walk around in a Mickey Mouse slippers and Mr. John wants to walk around in his colored shorts, and it doesn't create a sort of an environment that's conducive to working, where it needs to be a little bit more corporate without being stuffy? How do you get that balance?
So look, I think we're still really in the process of trying to get that balance, to be honest with you, right? What we're doing at this point in time is to make sure that the facilities, at least the environment around you, is not the stuffy, right? So you'll probably still be required to ditch your Crocs and put on your formal shoes, right, when you come to the office. But at least the office environment needs to be a bit more laid back. You know, it doesn't have to be as uptight as what we used to be in the past. And really what you see is, with the generational changes that we're seeing right now, there's newer generations coming into the work environment, and they've got different kinds of requirements, right? They expect this kind of setup to be a standard setup in the office. They don't want to go back to cubicles that our parents used to work in. They want creative spaces. They want spaces to collaborate. They want spaces that are open, that basically allow engagement. They want spaces that going to take their health and well-being as priority. So those are some of the focus areas that we actually are putting a lot of focus in as facilities managers, as well as corporate.
You know, Nili, I just gave my age away by, as I was listening to you and you were talking, I was thinking, the last thing I want is a collaborative space. I want a quiet space where I know where my stapler is and I know where everything is, so that I can fit back into my little mold and just work like a hamster on a wheel that I've, you know, the way I'm used to doing it here at home. Has that changed? Has the mindset in the younger generation, those who are graduating and coming into the workplace now, is that idea of sitting with people, that social element, far more important than what we would call quiet space to sit and focus?
So it certainly has changed. The requirements and the needs of the newer and younger generation are definitely different from the requirements that I would have, the requirements that you would have, all right? But the reality is the fact that we still have all these generations in the workspace. So we need to somehow be able to create an environment that's going to cater for you and your space, a quiet space. At the same time, somewhere around the corner, be able to cater for that young millennial who basically wants to go and collaborate. I mean, we've all seen probably that movie, I think it was Google, where there's really, really fun stuff happening at the office. They want football here, they want chess over there. You know, we need to be able to strike a balance. And I think that's really where the key is at this point in time, is we need to be able to strike a balance. And it makes it a huge challenge to be able to cater to everyone's needs.
Fantastic. Anita, we need to run to the shops. But when we come back, what I'd like to discuss with you is, what people are asking me to discuss with you is, the concept of the cost of transport to get back to work, whereas now there's zero cost involved in that. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with you in a moment.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I'm in labor. How can I help you? This is not a phrase that you probably would have heard before, and certainly not from a man. My name is Peter Fine, and I'm a labor relationship consultant working part-time as a commissioner at the CCMA. Let me help you not land up in front of me. If you have a problem with an employee or employer and need a consultation, then call me on 083-7788-778. That's 083-7788-778.
Join the Passover celebration with Sandringham Spa and Tops. We're your one-stop shop for all your Passover needs. Our delis are packed with delicious dishes of fish, chicken, salads, and soups. And we have plenty of matzah to go around. Our matzah pancakes are iconic and delicious. Pair it with a luxurious wine or brandy from Tops. L'chaim. It's the perfect way to celebrate freedom. Make Sandringham Spa and Tops your Passover destination.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. And just before we go back to our guest, Andile, I just want to let you know that Disc and Delivered has got you covered. Because if your shopping list is long and your time is short, Disc and Delivered is the place to go. Because you can buy anything from healthcare essentials to baby food, beauties, and toiletries. And whatever you need, Disc and Delivered has you covered. All you need to do is download the app and you can shop in-store prices. There are 7,000 products and they'll be delivered to you within 60 minutes. Now you can relax while Discom delivers your essentials to you. It's that simple. Discom delivered from Discom to you. Discom pharmacies. Pharmacists, who cares? Welcome back to our guest, Andile Mgundwala, who's the MD of Facilities Management Division at the Impact Group. Sorry about that, Andile. I just had a bit of a glitch there. And Andile, what we were discussing just before the break was the new concept that it does cost you nothing to get to work. And now all of a sudden people have to have that cost to get to work. And we know that it's not only the costs, it's everything that goes with it, especially for parents where you need to make sure your kids are going to school or get to school. It's not like a lot of places overseas where kids can just take themselves off and come back. It's a major logistical issue. How have you dealt with that particular issue?
So, look, I think that's still a big challenge for us. And really, it's one of the reasons where we see the employees essentially pushing back, and not just in South Africa, I think globally as well. People are actually pushing back in going back to the office, simply because that's one of the other reasons. You know, just spending, I spent about 45 minutes getting from Centurion to Stanton. You know, you could actually use that 45 minutes doing something a bit more productive in front of your PC, right? So it's not just the cost, it's also the psychologically, it also just gets to you. And I think that's why most organizations have kind of opted to at least go with some kind of a hybrid model, whereby in some days you will come to the office. So companies will be like, on Monday and Friday, we want you to be at the office. But then on Tuesday until Thursday, then you can actually work at home. And I think that's probably one way that organizations have tried to at least meet the employees halfway in terms of the challenges that are there, because we still need to somehow collaborate. I think that's quite important for organizational culture. So we still need to get that going some way. And like I said, I think some of these things we're still in the process of figuring out. I don't think anyone has got a perfect solution at this point in time. Organizations are still really grappling in terms of what exactly is the ideal and the right setup. So it's going to be a bit of an iterative process, a trial and error, as we try and determine exactly what works. But what we seem to see with most of our clients at this point in time is they seem to really believe that the hybrid model at least seems to be delivering the right results.
Fantastic. You're absolutely right. And I think that's what I found in my own practice. And that's, I think, the bigger corporates are also finding, is that the hybrid is definitely a way to go. The biggest pushback, funny enough, comes from clients where they feel that if someone's at home, those days of hearing a dog bark or a baby cry, which was part of the COVID culture, is unacceptable today. And all of a sudden, people get huffety when it doesn't really make a difference to the delivery service. Those are the challenges that we need to deal with. And you know, I suppose there's something else that's come up, and someone's just sent a message through. Simpiwe says, you know, all the way through COVID, I was not sick. Now that I've come back to the office, I'm getting flu and colds all the time. And that's mainly from parents with little kids who've gone back to creche, getting sick from other kids and now passing it on to us. How do we deal with that? I have no idea.
I mean, from an engineer and facilities manager, I can always give you my perspective, always not a medical advice. Look, yes. On our side, I think we really, as I said at the beginning, there's really a lot of emphasis on the hygiene in the workplace, right? So I know that we probably have seen the worst of COVID, but that doesn't mean we need to let our guard down. You know, back in the days, you used to have sanitizers, make sure you wash your hands every hour, even if you didn't touch anything. I think it's quite important that we actually stick to that. I think that's really our reality at this point in time. So we definitely need to keep up with that. From a service provider perspective or facilities manager perspective, we're doing things differently. You know, in the past, just an example, in the past, we'll say we've got someone who goes and cleans the bathrooms every hour, right? And it used to happen every hour. But the way that we're doing right now, and that's this is where technology is really one of the key areas that we're using as facilities managers to deliver our services. We're using technology, using sensors, using IoT to be able to determine the traffic that goes into the bathroom, right? If there's a lot of traffic that goes into the bathroom, then we shouldn't actually be waiting for an hour to go and clean it up, right? If there's too much traffic within the first 10 minutes of the first hour, then someone needs to go out there and make sure that it's properly cleaned up. So we need to really be a bit more innovative about how we deliver the service. You know, I think in our environment, we've realized that things have changed. I don't think we're in a position to be still doing things the way that we used to do them in the past. We need to do things a bit differently. And like I said, we're using quite a lot of technology to improve the way that we do things and react better to the situations that we're faced with right now.
Fantastic. And just something else that's come up is this particular lady is talking about different cultures coming back to work. Says all of a sudden, you know, everybody, the office, let me just read it. The lady says, the office supplies lunch, but a lot of people don't like what is provided and bring lunch from home. This is one microwave, therefore working over and over and over again. And yet the office becomes filled with food smells, which could be quite nice, and it sometimes could be quite disgusting. I think it's a bit sharp. How does one manage that if we are in an open environment without a closed-off kitchen? I'm not quite sure if that's a serious problem or someone's just trying their luck here.
No, look, we haven't really encountered that problem that much in our space. But what we normally do when we engage with our clients is that we encourage them to engage with us, right? The message they talked about, maybe the menu not being ideal or not addressing some of their requirements, some of their needs. You really need to have discussions with your service providers in terms of changing and refreshing the menus. The menus need to be in line with the demographics or with your people's requirements and people's taste buds. So there definitely needs to be, and this is where really facilities management becomes quite important, because that for me is really a classic example of trying to keep people in the office trying to retain people and also trying to attract people is how do you become a bit more innovative with the menus that you provide, right? Because someone else might say, you know what, the reason I'm going to the office is because the lunch is absolutely awesome, you know, and that's why I go to the office. And that's the level that we want to get to a point whereby people come to office because the lunch is absolutely at the canteen is absolutely awesome. It's better than something that I will actually whip up in the morning as I get my kids ready to go to school. So that's the ideal point that we want to get to.
Adira, just something that I was just thinking about now as you were talking, just from an engineering and an air circulation point of view, South Africa has a unique problem. Is that these big air conditioning systems need electricity in order for them to operate. A lot of these buildings don't have windows that open out, and they have balconies, some of them, but most of them are just glass shards that rely very heavily on air conditioning to make sure the air is fresh and circulated. How are you dealing with that with the current crisis?
So it really is a big challenge, and that's a separate discussion altogether. But the advice that we're offering to our clients, we've got a lot of clients that we look after their engineering assets, is we really need to move to a point where we kind of are able to generate your own power in your own facilities, right? In the past, that used to be only generators, right? But the technology, once again, has moved so much that a lot of our clients are now looking at solar PV. How can we actually, and we're advising a lot of them to actually, maybe that might be the best route to go. Putting as much as you do at your home, putting your solar PV on your roof, your inverter, as well as your battery, so less noise pollution and less and less air pollution that you get from your generator. So we've seen a lot of take up from our clients with respect to that particular technology, because I mean the challenges that we're currently facing in our country right now is not only obviously an FM challenge only, but it's everyone really facing their challenge, because the same client who would struggle with their aircon probably would struggle with their servers as well if there's no power. So you need to really have a holistic solution in trying to solve this particular problem here. And like I said, for me, I think with the renewable that we have at this point in time, predominantly solar PV, we're really addressing a lot of challenges, addressing a challenge of power shortage. At the same time, we're also addressing the challenge of moving into a much more greener, environmental friendly power generation. So there's really a number of silver linings in this dark cloud.
So, Andita, I wish you could see the next SMS that comes from somebody who calls himself Angry Mac. He says he's a facilitator in Witbank. He says it's all good and well to deal with electricity because we can overcome that by being self-reliant. But when water, number one, doesn't flow for a long period of time, it then pumps sludge through our system, which blocks up stuff and corrodes pipes. Number two, the quality of water, I feel, is making people ill. We are now looking at a totally independent water filtration and supply system. And I feel that is the way the country is going to have to go. What is your guest's opinion on that?
So I think really my advice to people like him and really to everyone else out there in the corporate is, I think right now is really the time to sit down and put in place your business continuity plan, right? And for me, that's a much more holistic approach to this one, because we can talk about water now. The next issue is going to be around security or something else. You really, really just need to, and we're seeing a lot of this from our clients, from our key clients, who have now started really this process of making sure that they've got this business continuity plan. So as a process, it is business continuity plan, you ask yourself, what risk exactly am I exposed to, and how do I go about mitigating those risks? What options do I have in place? And people have boreholes in their facility. Is borehole the right solution for you? Do you want to get a couple of tanks that are going to be a backup for you? You can test the water there, just make sure that it's of the right quality, and if it needs to be treated, you can also get it treated accordingly. But I think business people and really companies need to now really go back and say, you know what, we need to have a business continuity plan in place. It doesn't mean that things are going to happen or we're planning for that. We have to plan for things, whether they happen or not. You know, we just definitely need to plan. I think that's what we need to do now.
Then that's exactly what it is. This is the opportunity now, you know, to look at the sort of the worst case scenario and put stuff in place. And you know what? Somebody's just come through now, calls himself Greg, says, what we are finding with younger people coming in, whether they're qualified graduates or not, is the risk of information leak. Says all of a sudden, the youngsters are so tech savvy that we are spending a huge amount of time and money updating, protecting, and educating our new staff to make sure that they do not walk off with our corporate information. This has led to a lot of hostilities where younger people feel that they are being watched and they are being monitored. How does one discuss this in a way that is collaborative without compromising security of the company?
So for me, the best approach on that one would essentially be able to sit down with these people, with your employees, younger employees, and then just let them understand exactly what the risks are. You know, if the company is exposed to these risks, you as an employee are also kind of exposed, right? Where does that put the job security, your job? If me as a company cannot guarantee my survival tomorrow because I'm basically exposed, how do I then guarantee you that you will still have a job tomorrow? And it shouldn't really be about scaring people, but it should really be about making people realize what the risks are if that kind of practice continues unabated. And I think I definitely do give credit to employees if you sit down with them and engage with them and really play open cards with them. You find that in most cases, they definitely understand where you're coming from, and they will be the ones advocating for what you're trying to achieve and assisting you in what you're trying to achieve.
Great. And then let's take a quick break. We're basically running out of time. When we come back, I want to talk about renewable energy with you. I see that's something you've got a lot of experience in. We'll be back with you in a moment.